It was Christmas Day, and we were in Canada. Our tradition as a family was always to save the best gifts, the home run gifts, until last. And now everything had been opened except for Dan's big gift. And it was big. It was bulky. It was almost 5 feet long. He clearly was excited about it, but he had no idea what it was because it didn't have any discernible shape. And so he began to unwrap the paper, but under the wrapping paper there was a thick blanket that was taped over something. So Dan stripped away the blanket so he could peer into his present. And when he saw it, he could not hide his disappointment. He looked up at us almost crestfallen and said, "You got me golf clubs?" And he was right. Giving him golf clubs made no sense whatsoever. But there were at least 20 golf clubs wrapped in that blanket. But then he realized that there was something else in there too, and that the golf clubs were, in fact, a ruse. So he pulled off the blanket and saw a case. Now he could not hide his excitement. He pulled out the case and opened it, and inside was a Yamaha electric guitar. Lots of people deny that love at first sight is a real thing. But as soon as Dan saw that guitar, he was in love. And for the next 10 months at least, if Dan was in the house, he had that guitar in his hand and was noodling one song or another. We may not have known it at the time. He may not have even known it, but we know it now. That gift changed his life. If you had asked me in college or even in seminary what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would have told you I wanted to teach in a college or seminary. In fact, if you had told me back then that I would end up being a pastor, I bet I would have been rather disappointed. Because being a pastor was just not who I was. And yet being a pastor was a far better choice than my other two options. People said these were perfectly good possibilities. But there was just no way I was going to be an evangelist. And there was no way I was ever going to be a missionary. And for good reasons. Evangelists are odd. And missionaries are weird. And so if push came to shove, I guess I could become a pastor. But to be a pastor, you had to be into people and problems. And I really didn't want to have anything to do with either people or problems, and definitely not people with problems. In short, being a pastor was clearly a disappointing gift I did not want. But then God did something in me. He gave us three incredible gifts. First, he gave Joe and I the opportunity to be involved with Chapelgate's Career Fellowship. What a life-changing gift that was. We loved being a part of that group. And maybe what's most unbelievable about CCF is that some of you were with us back in those days. Renee and Aaron and Betty and Mary and Allie and now Ben and Betsy are here and Karen and Leslie and David. Unbelievable that you would be such good friends after all these many, many years. We can't thank you enough. CCF was such a magical ministry that it forced us to make a decision. I could either continue teaching in my seminary job or I could leave there and become a pastor. And so I became a pastor. But that was no longer a disappointment. Instead, I saw it as an incredible blessing. But don't get confused here. It wasn't the job of being a pastor that was the blessing. It was the people. It was the community of people who gathered together to love one another. But then God gave us incredible gift number two. and sent us to Canada to plant a church. And when we got there, Presbytery needed to call me to a particular work. And since there were no churches in our denomination, in our city, they called me as an evangelist. And with that, what had sounded so awful to me before became unbelievable joy. Again, not because of the task involved, but because it meant talking with great people. And in Canada, we had all sorts of great people to talk to, people from Ghana and Korea, and lots and lots and lots of people from China, people like Chris and Debbie. I loved being an evangelist, and I still do. But it's funny to me to think that God knew that long before I ever did. And that's why he gave us such an incredible gift. And then God gave us our third and most wonderful of all our gifts. He called us back home to start River's Edge. It was the home run gift of all the amazing gifts. What an amazing 24 years we have had together. And here's the funny part. A huge portion of our time here meant being involved in the amazing work of being missionaries. We even were blessed to start our own little missions organization so that we could recruit and send teachers to our three universities. And then we got to train them to be missionaries and teach them how to be incredible evangelists. What a rich, rich, rich privilege. I loved being part of ELT Edge and going to China. And you made that happen. We can't thank you enough for those experiences. Now, if God had given me these three gifts years ago, being a pastor, an evangelist, and a missionary, and said, "This is your life," I would have been deeply disappointed. But now I could not be more grateful. And that gratitude is rightly given to God, but it also needs to be given to you. Thank you for allowing us to be your pastors for all these years. What an unbelievable privilege it has been. But again, the job is great, but that's not what gives us great joy. It's you. You have made this such a spectacular honor. Being part of this church with all of you has been pure poetry. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to go out and have conversations with people who don't know Jesus. Nothing gives me greater joy than talking about the deeper issues of life with friends. You gave us the freedom to do that. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. And you gave us the opportunity to go to China all those years ago. I think I went to China 25 times. Add up all those weeks, and that's close to a year that I was away from our church, serving in China. And you not only allowed us to go all that time, but you celebrated that work. I can't thank you enough for that. You gladly sent us off to China and then welcomed us home. I remember talking to a good friend years after she moved and went away, and she said, "Let me tell you about my best service at River's Edge. It was when you came back from China that first time." I said, "Thank you for sending us. What an incredible, generous gift you gave us to allow us to go." And that's the big point I want to leave with you today. See, all these recent weeks, you've had it all backwards and inside out. You've been saying wonderful things and thanking us for everything. But we are the debtors here. You have done so much for us and have blessed us beyond all measure. We are the ones who should be thanking you because you have made our lives rich in every way. And it's easy to see why. What other job gives someone the opportunity to be involved in the lives of people they love We have had the honor to be there in your best times and in your heartbreaking times. We've been invited into your lives when you were preparing to get married. We're invited into your hearts when you were experiencing devastating loss. We were invited into times when you were preparing for surgery, and into times when you have been released from the hospital, and all was well. In all those times and more, you let us into your hearts. What an honor. What an incredible job to have. But there's one more person to whom I need to say thanks. Joe, I could not have done any of this without you, and I wouldn't have wanted to try. You were always the better pastor. And yet you were always willing to play second fiddle without any complaint. And you gave and you gave and you gave to make things not only run well, but to make sure everything was done with excellence. And what work you did. Back when we had sermon slides, Joe worked 8 to 12 hours on a Saturday gathering slides because she believed those images were important to our international community. That was a lot of work. We started doing it together, and then we realized it went much smoother if I just let her do it. But that was almost all the time. But Joe definitely cared deeply about what was happening on Sunday at church. And your care for the people in our church and those people in our hearts knows no bounds. You taught me how to shepherd the people in our church. I have loved being your husband. I have loved working with you side by side. And I have absolutely loved being co-pastors together in all of our churches. But serving here together at River's Edge was extra, extra special. Thank you for all these wonderful years of ministry together. You are the best. Thank you. Way back in 2002, a group of us gathered together in this very room. Some of you may have even been here on that first Sunday. We had just recently named the church River's Edge. And so we thought it would be good if our first text mentioned the name of our church. It just so happens that there is one passage that does that, Joshua 3. It's close in other translations, but it's perfect in the NLT, the New Living Translation. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Then he said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people." So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Dothan, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now that's a great story. We have God's people on one side of the Jordan and the Promised Land on the other. And in between the two, the Jordan River is at flood stage. And that's a problem because the people needed to take possession of the land. They had to cross the Jordan, but they couldn't. And Joshua really wasn't much help here. His words sound incredibly thin. "Give yourselves to God because he is going to do amazing things among you." That sentiment is on every church sign in the land. "Join us because great things are on the horizon." That's easy to say. But believing that is true and acting like that is true, that's not easy to do. And Joshua doesn't make it any easier. He tells the people to follow the priests, which is fair enough until they start heading towards the river. Remember when your parents wanted to put a stop to you doing whatever your friends did and asked you, and if they jumped off a bridge, would you follow them? Everyone's asking the same question here. If these priests jump into the river, are you going to follow them? See, no one was excited about drowning in the Jordan. And that led them to a conclusion. They knew if God didn't show up and show up soon, they were doomed. And then it happened. As soon as the feet of the priests stepped into the water at the river's edge, God showed up. The river parted, and the people crossed into the promised land on dry ground. As I said, it's a great passage. We have the promise that if we step out in faith, God will meet us there. We have a seemingly impossible situation that looks an awful lot like many of our impossible situations that we face all throughout our lives. And we have priests who are willing to risk everything and step out in faith, but they're not so sure. And we have a God who lovingly doesn't show up until those priests take that big step. See, faith is never true faith until it steps out. Not only is that a great story, but that sounds a lot like what happened here. We started River's Edge with a firm conviction that if we stepped out in faith, God would meet us here. But planting a church, starting a church, that's near impossible. But we stepped out in faith anyway, and God absolutely showed up in a powerful way. And then he commissioned us to go not into the promised land, but into his world to advance his kingdom. There are lots of similarities, but there's also one huge difference. Joshua 3 ends in verse 17. Our story continues. And that means that every day we need to step out in faith and step into the river's edge, trusting in God's goodness and faithfulness. But when God shows up, and he will, our job then changes. Our job is now to give thanks. G.K. Chesterton was right. When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. Here's my advice. Let's take things with gratitude. After all, that's the way Paul took things. We see this all over the place. But one passage is perfect for this occasion. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 1, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Please understand that from now on, this passage will always and forever be linked to you. Joe and I will always thank God for you. And we will always pray for you. And we will remember before our God and Father your work to advance God's kingdom throughout the world, your love for one another and for your neighbors, and for your great hope that God will use you, that God will use our church in incredible ways in the future as we all step into the river's edge. And we will remember you always and pray for you often. And yet I wish I could thank all of you individually for all that you have done for us and for this church. But there's so many people to thank and so many things that deserve recognition. Henry and Kathy prepare communion every month. Thank you. So many of you teach Rivers kids each and every Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mark leads the men's prayer breakfast. Thank you. Larry will now lead our volunteers at Catonsville's Fall Festival. Thank you. So many women make the coffee clutch such a success. Thank you. For everyone who blesses us every week with great music, and for our singers who lead us in worship, and for the sound team and the slide team who make our worship services so delightful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And for our greeters and all those who set up and take down, for people like Betty and the Dingles, and for Justin, who always goes above and beyond to find ways to serve and to give himself. Thank you. For Becca and Dina, who showed us great kindness. For Beth, who gives so much working with us as a church, for all the things she does. Steve and Brian are here. They were in our first class of session members, very first one. What a blessing. Thank you so much for giving so much of your heart to this church. For our Chinese friends and for our 6K friends and for all those with whom we've had great conversations every week after church, thank you. The session has been an absolute delight to work with. It has been a special pleasure to work with all of you. So thank you to Josh and Dave and John, Mary and Allie and Kelly and Megan and Rachel. It's just so funny that Rachel is here because I grew up with her parents. Even before they were a couple, I knew them both and loved them both. And it's just so fun to reconnect with my roots and to see Rachel, who is a lot like her parents. Wonderful people on the crazy side. I can't thank the session enough. And for Joe and Ann Dutra, who prayed this church into existence and led us to have a missional focus from day one, thank you. And thank you especially to Renee, who was the second person in the door but first in our hearts when we first moved here to Maryland, and to Aaron for their constant encouragement and support in CCF, in Canada, and now here. I don't know how we would have done it without you. And I know I'm missing many others, but for all of you and for all that you have done, I cannot thank you enough. You have blessed us beyond anything that we can even begin to repay. And I have to say a special thank you to the Edge past and present. I can't put into words how much the Edge has meant to me, how much you mean to me. I've loved our conversations. I've loved our retreats. I've loved the dramas. I loved all the laughter. And I've loved watching you all grow up and to become the people you are today, because you are absolutely remarkable people. So thank you, Adam and Ian, Josh and Catherine, Allie and Titus, Anna and Julia, Nyla and Lauren, Jake and Bridget and Justine, Caleb and Lydia, and Jesse and Lila. There were others, but you were my favorites. And again, thank you for all that you taught me. What a blessing you have been in my life and how you have shaped me. It has been an incredible blessing, and you have become my good friends, and I will cherish these relationships forever. And when you left the Edge on a Friday night, Gary and I would talk for hours about the Edge and about what a privilege it is to be part of your lives. Thank you for everything. I will never forget the Edge. And I can't wait to see what the future holds for all of you. I know you don't understand why, of all the Broadway shows available to us, why we chose to see Operation Mincemeat, a musical comedy about an actual World War II espionage operation in which the fate of the war hung in the balance. I know you don't get it, but it's a great show. But one song in particular from that show has really captured my attention of late. Near the end of the mission, as they're waiting to see if the Germans will buy the lie, two women are talking about their roles in the mission. But those roles have changed. They started out as mere secretaries, but they became critical to the mission's success. In fact, the mission could not have happened without them. But now, they might be relegated to go back and be mere secretaries again. And one of the women doesn't want that. More than that, she wants to be rewarded for her role in the mission. She wants to be acknowledged. And she really would love for Winston Churchill to say, "Yes, it's all true, though you would never believe it. They did what they could do, and though you will never see it, they worked and they prayed, and it wasn't in vain. They knew pain could be strength, and that strength could be pain. They forced enemy forces to fly. They banished the planes from the sky. And they did something useful." But then she realizes that the accolades and the praises are nice, but they aren't the reason she worked so hard. She just wanted to be useful, to do something that would make a difference in her world. And so she gives up all the thoughts of rewards and focuses instead on what truly matters, that they did something together that was useful. We thank you so very, very much for your kind words and thoughts. But receiving praise was never what motivated us. Our hope and prayer is that together, you, Joe, and I did something useful to advance the kingdom of God in us and through us here at River's Edge. That we were indeed God's hands and feet in his world. The joy is in knowing that in this small church, we served together, we prayed together, we sang together, we cried together, we hoped together, and we stepped into the river's edge by faith together. And we did all of this together because we loved one another. And for this opportunity, and for these 24 great years, and for your partnership in this great act of faith that we call River's Edge Church, we can't thank you enough. It has been nothing but pure poetry. You were a gift that God gave us that changed our lives forever. So thank you. Thank you. And thank you. May God bless all of you. Let's pray. Father, we can't thank you enough for the incredible gift of this church. I pray that you would bless the foundations that have been set, and that you would move this church into new avenues of ministry, great avenues of ministry, and that they would move forward as one, because you have bounded them together in love. We love everyone here. And you have been so good to us in the past. We pray that you would continue your goodness, continue your grace, and bless this church in many, many, many ways, so that it would be a clear indication that you dwell among your people here at River's Edge. May love always be our watchword, and may gratitude always fill our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.